Hey friends, so at the recent ACCT conference, myself and my friend and colleague Jamie Thibodeau recorded an episode of the podcast with a studio audience, I guess you could say that. It was a combination of questions that they provided that I then asked the larger group, and then also a trivia show. So that is what you're going to hear, and also a shout out to Catchbox. If you haven't seen what those are, you can go to my Instagram at Vertical Playpen and see a video of those in use. But essentially, it's a throwable microphone, and I used a Catchbox in the recording of this episode.
What is the best book you've read that's helped you navigate and learn about the industry of challenge courses? So what is a book, a resource that maybe we could offer to the listeners and this group here that have helped you in this industry?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, watch it. Oh, that was good. Oh, my God.
Oh, my name is Bogue. I work with Challenge Quest and I run Poster Canopy Tours here in Tulsa. One of the books that I kind of live and die by is like my facilitator Bible is Open Outcomes, Volume 2. When I first started as a facilitator, like I always felt like I had to have answers to everybody's like team building questions. And like I had to make sure that every single person in my team building or on my zip tour like had an amazing experience and had some massive breakthrough and takeaway. And quite honestly, it was just facilitating completely wrong, in my opinion. But that book helped me kind of just like refocus and kind of like just see facilitation from a different perspective. Completely changed fundamentally how I facilitate team building and even just like my groups on tour.
Victor Morales, Berea College. The book that like I constantly quote in college, I had a cognitive psychology class. So it's actually a textbook and it's Cognitive Psychology, Connecting Mind, Research, and Everyday Experience. It's by Bruce Goldstein. What I love about that is it taught me how people learn. So it went through experiments about, you know, here is what cognitive dissonance is. Here is, you know, how you get people to change behaviors. And it's backed by psychology and a bunch of different things in there. So I find myself like essentially putting my students and people through these kind of like similar experiments to just see like how they perceive things, how they retain knowledge. And it's helped me a ton as a trainer. And as an operator and just understanding how people think and how they operate. So that's been like the most useful thing to me. And it has just, like I said, it's everyday experience kinds of things. So it could apply to our everyday lives as well, which is nice because in that kind of now what kind of side of the experiential life cycle is that it's like, oh, this can apply beyond a challenge course.
Chris Ortiz, Shavers Creek Team Development at Penn State University. Mark Collard's Serious Fun, which he talks about program design and sort of breaks it down. I used to share it with my students who were learning team facilitation stuff because it's an easy read, it's fun, and it sort of gives some of the basics. It kind of breaks things down in a real simple, easy way. He's got some fun activities in there, and he's giving sort of a holistic view of how to create program design. Jen Stanchfield's Art of Facilitation, messing up the whole title of it, but that also is one that I used as a textbook for students. So those two, I think, are the ones that I've been sharing most often with new facilitators in experiential education, as well as like in challenge course and when you're thinking about program design and that sort of thing.
I would add two that I was thinking of. One is semi-pluggy, but the High Five Guide. Chris Ortiz helped write that one, but it just has some good front matter. It's a standard operating procedures for how we build, but it's got good front matter that I would recommend for people, especially if you're using courses for an educational or facilitated-based methodology. That's our jam. But the other one is a book called, and I've referenced it on the podcast, but it's called The Checklist Manifesto by Atul Gawande. It sounds utterly boring because it's about checklists, but it's phenomenal because I think what it teaches, you know, not only because I'm a trainer, so I'm always thinking about how I'm teaching my students to remember the information. So I think of your staff or yourself, how you're learning information and ensuring that there are checks and balances and checklists and how we teach, rubrics to follow. These seem like kind of rudimentary and boring, but they give boundaries to stuff. I've actually recently been considering level one trainings in a little bit more detail because I used to think I wanted to teach the why to new practitioners. And I've kind of shifted my mindset to be, and actually, I want to teach them the mechanics and the operations of what we're doing and then allow them to be more creative rather than going deep. I actually just sat in a workshop by Tom Leahy, it was very nicely done. He's got a book coming out, which is called Agency, Challenge, Choice and Control. It's kind of be focused on a redefining of challenge zones and the comfort zone model, and also challenge by choice. He kind of picks those two apart. I'm excited about it. But the problem, I think, is it's going to be making that accessible for new people coming in. I think it's an overwhelming concept, and they're great for facilitators who have experience, but they're less accessible maybe to newer people coming in. And so we still have to teach those basics before we go hard. So it's like checklists are really important. And then once you've got some bearing and mindset, then go into the deep stuff. I go back and forth of it, if I'm honest, because I'm on the mindset, like we teach the same things. And then once you get more experience, you unlearn some of that stuff. Because it's like, that stuff isn't actually true. Like sequencing things in a certain way, you can mix it up. But I can't say that to a new person because they don't have the basis to be able to start mixing stuff up if they don't know anything. So of course I'm going to do name games, energizers, lows, highs, special elements in the kind of sequence. But if I'm running a program, I might do the Pampa first, which might be iffy for certain people. Excellent. Thank you for sharing. We're going to tackle one more question for now, and then we'll go on to the trivia show. I want us just to have a momentary meditation on this, because I know I have a feeling that I'm going to say who wants to set up here, and there's going to be limited excitement. But I will say there's a prize for the winner, and my hope is that these are questions, for the most part, you should be okay with. Also, if you decide to sit here, you will get yourself your very own vertical playpen speaker's pin. This is a slightly different question here, so this is a little bit more, I think, a little bit more philosophical, but I really like it. What is the best way to get your staff to buy into your missions and programs? I resonated with it as I read it, is we have something at High Five for our clients. We call them champions. And I think most people would like identify who a champion is in your organization. It's someone who's really invested in the mission and the program and absolutely loves that the challenge course is a component of the program. When I used to work outdoor ed, the challenge course was a section on a larger curriculum. And there would be half of my staff that I was training that could not care less about the challenge course part and actually was terrified of doing any program on it. So this kind of leads into this, like, what's the best way that you get your staff to buy in to the mission and your program?
Hello, I'm Corbin Hufstetter. I'm based out of the 4-H Center in Little Rock, Arkansas. First of all, I'll be honest, I'm pretty new to this field. I've only been working about a little over 6 months. So for me, I'm learning a lot. Coming here, I was the one that asked the question about books because I'm like, I want to know so that I can get better and so I can understand. And so for me, I think the first thing that you need to have is just passion. You know, you have to have this ability to be like, I don't know, this ability to bring people in and see your vision. Not only do you need passion, but you got to see big picture stuff too. Know the details, but not get lost in the details. So I think generally speaking, I know these are very broad and cliche maybe even things, but I think sometimes paring it down to the simple can really get people in and can help them see like, oh, well, he or she, they know like, there's something that they've got that's special here. So I think that really speaks for itself. Having a passion and knowing the big picture is really important.
I am Taylor Petty. I work for Virginia Tech's outdoor program, live in Virginia. I think one that is important to staff that I've worked with is sharing the like feedback or some of the outcomes that we hear from the groups that we work with. Like, you know, oftentimes a program can be, you know, one touch and that group of people goes off somewhere, but me like working with the organizer will hear stories from that group or we'll just like hear feedback from my specific staff, so including them on what people are saying about them or how that experience might have impacted that group with wherever they were going off to.
Again, my name is Bo with Challenge Quest and Posto Canopy Tours. I think for me, one of the ways that I help to try to create buy-in, and this probably is also a simple, like easy thing that's like, oh yeah, kind of duh, maybe not, I don't know, is that my team gets to decide what our values are. And so every season we start, not really over, but we look at last year's values and we say, hey, these are the four things that we as Posto Canopy Tours are going to be known for. We want to buy into, you know, how are we doing this? You know, do we need to change it? I mean, if we're not going to change it, you know, how are we going to continue to live in this in this next year? So, like, for example, like one of the things that our team came up with last year was that we were going to we really liked the family feel of like our team. And it's like, cool. So how did we do that last year? How did we, like, we spent an entire half day just talking through each of these values of like, how did we spend the last year, like, living out this thing that we said we wanted to be about? And then this next year, how are we going to continue to build upon that? And we don't have a huge team. We don't have tons of turnover, but like the core group of like four or five that I've got, like, they're bought in, I think, because they're the ones that set up what they're buying into. It's less of like, this is my vision and my thing for what I want my team to look like. Because to me, that's like, that's great, but like, I care more about what they want, not what I need, if that makes sense.
Passion is a hard thing to try to create for someone. So I appreciate like the demonstrating, the role modeling, I think is really important. I think about this actually in this industry, because there's big discussions of how do we bring new people into the field. And so I encourage us to continue to like connect with each other, but demonstrate some of that passion that we have. We are a good marketing tool. And I'm not sure we do a great job of marketing our industry. I even find myself when someone asks what I do, I'm like, that's a complicated. And then I'm like, that's probably not the greatest way to describe the work I do. Awesome. So thank you for that. So I'm going to introduce our trivia host, Jamie Thibodeau, to a smattering round of applause. And he's going to take it from here.
Phil is gracious enough to let me kind of take over half of his workshop. We're trying something new with the podcast, a trivia podcast. This year, we're going to go quarterly, see how it goes. It's based off of a trivia show podcast that I really, really enjoy. Hopefully, you guys enjoy it. Keep it lighthearted. It's okay to talk trash during the round. It's okay to talk to each other. It's okay to challenge me as the host, but it's going to be pretty simple. I need six volunteers that would like to come up and their general challenge course and industry questions. Welcome to High Five Trivia. This is a five-question quiz show about the challenge course industry. We'll pull questions from different categories such as gear, facilitation, construction, history, and general knowledge about the challenge course. The person with the most questions correct at the end of this game is our winner, and we'll get a deck of Ubuntu cards and a bunch of pins from Phil. Today we have six players. Let's go to our contestants and please introduce yourself and tell us what brings you to ACCT.
My name is Chris Ortiz. I am program director for team development at Shavers Creek at Penn State University. And this is my family away from my other family. So yeah, I love coming here every year. ACCT, I've been coming to the conference for 16 plus years.
Hello, I'm Corbin Hofstetter. I'm a 4-H program technician or facilitator in Little Rock, Arkansas. And what brings me here, being my first time, is the fact that, we have a challenge course, ropes course, and a zip line. And we've got some new staff, some people like me who are kind of brand new to the field. And they thought, hey, we need to go into this conference and learn a little bit more for them.
My name is Bogue. I work with Challenge Quests and I run Posto Canopy Tours. I'm here kind of similarly in the same vein, like this is my family away from family. I'd get to do inspections, trainings, installing, gear sales, course design, all of that kind of fun stuff. And then I get to do operations and run a zip tour.
Hey, my name is Barrett. I work with the HUBUT Foundation in Kerrville, Texas. We work with a youth camp, family camp, a outdoor school with age ranges from even 3 or 4 years old, if they weigh enough, to up to like, I think we've taken a 90-year-old on the zip line through a treetop canopy tour. So coming out here to ACCT, it's great to be able to learn new skills with team building, debriefing, processing, and also looking at the new gear developments and finding new products to incorporate into our course.
Victor Morales, Director of Recreation at Berry College. I'm here at this conference because I'm a trainer for Signature Research as well, and I came from the canopy tour background, and now I'm in the traditional team building background. Better ways to facilitate things, better ways to train people, better ways just to understand all the things going on, like to keep informed.
And I am Cameron. I'm from Zip Zone Outdoor Adventures in Columbus, Ohio. I'm basically here because it's going into my third season this year, so just trying to take in as much valuable information from everybody, meet a bunch of cool people, super cool community, and just a lot of valuable takeaways from the conference. So.
So a quick synopsis of the rules. Try not to give any hints. Keep your eyes on your own board. Spelling does not matter, but I need to be able to decipher your answer. Please get as close as possible. Make sure when you hold up your board that the answer is written nice and big so I can see it. And please just hold up your name tag next to it so I can give you credit for your answer. Each question will have an answer, and afterwards there will be some flavor text. And just to define flavor text, it's text printed on a card or within a rule book of a tabletop game that does not affect the game mechanics, but gives background information on characters, places, rules, etc. This is to enhance the game's atmosphere. So I'm stealing this word to use it for the bits of information I will be giving to you guys after each question to enhance the listener quality of the game and will not affect the outcome of the game. I'm modeling this trivia show after a very similar trivia show podcast that I really enjoy. They provide a difficulty rating that I will be utilizing. This is going to be called the Amber Index. I have asked all of these questions to my wife, Amber, and the number of questions she gets correct is called the Amber Index. Amber normally gets about half the questions correct. The Amber Index for this show is a 2, so we can expect the winner to get 4 questions correct. If there are no other questions, then we will start our game of trivia. Is everybody ready? All right, here we go. Question 1. This question is multiple choice. The topic is facilitation. What does the S in PBUS stand for? Is it A, stop, B, slide, C, stand, or D, slow? What does the S in PBUS stand for? A, stop, B, slide, C, stand, D, slow. Show me your answers. We have Chris that says B, slide. Corbin that says stop. Bogue that says slide. Barrett that says slide. Victor that says slide. And Cameron that says slow. The correct answer is B, slide. According to Climbing Magazine, a universal rule to belaying is that your brake hand, which is palm down on the brake strand of the rope, should never come off the rope. The PBUS method, which stands for pull, brake, under, slide, is a tried and true technique that will accomplish this while providing for a safe belay. For more information about the PBUS, check out the Vertical Playpen podcast, episode 120, What is Belaying? Good. You can switch to another sheet of paper if you want, or you can keep the same one. We're going on to question 2. Topic is gear. This older belay device has a wide wire spring attached to one side to help keep the device away from the brake carabiner. Chris, you look pretty confident over there.
Yeah, feeling pretty good. I just I visited the exhibit in the exhibit hall there with all of Tom's belay gear. So I feel like I studied before the quiz. It's good. He's got several renditions of this belay device.
Yes, there's a lot of them. This is the first belay device I used to use.
Mine used to have a little piece of P cord that kept it attached to the carabiner.
Giving some hints. So, all right, show your answer. Chris says stitch plate. Corbin says he's still writing. He says, I have no idea. Bogue says stitch plate. Barrett says ATC. Victor says plate. And Cameron says, no, I don't have anything. The correct answer is stitch plate. The stitch plate was first mechanical rope brake named after its designer, Fritz Stitch. It consists of a small metal plate with a slot that allows a bite of rope to pass through into a locking carabiner. Stitch plates have become less popular, mostly because they pinch your belly, since more modern designs provide smoother control over the rope and less prone to jamming, especially when using as a double descender. To learn more about modern belay devices, check out the Vertical Playpen podcast, episode 190, ATC versus Gree-Gree belay device. I'm not going to show you my belly, but I still have little marks from where, like, it just would pinch. All my shirts had, like, little holes in it. Yeah. Question 3. The topic is general knowledge. you are attending the blank annual ACCT conference. I'm looking for how many years? I will say it is more than the years the organization's been around. All right, let's show your answers. We have Chris saying 34th. We have Corbin saying 24th. We have Bogue saying 34th. Barrett saying 34th. Victor saying 34th. And Cameron saying 32nd. It is the 34th annual conference. Formed in 1993, the Association for Challenge Course Technology is an international trade organization dedicated to the standards, government relations, credentialing, professional development, and advancement of their members. ACCT is an American National Standards Institute accredited standards developer for the Global Challenge Course, Aerial Adventure Park, and Canopy Tour and Zipline industry. For more information, go to acctinfo.org. Okay, question four. The topic is facilitation. What word describes a process used during facilitation and can also describe the action of removing your underpants? What word describes a process used during facilitation and can also describe the action of removing your underpants? Do you need some more time? Think you got? No? Okay. All right. Turn your boards around. Chris says debriefing. Corbin says moving. Bogue says debriefing. Barrett says debriefing. Victor says debriefing. Cameron says moon. And the correct answer is debrief or debriefing. According to Cal State University, one of the most powerful aspects of an adventure education experience, processing or debriefing of an experience. It is a purposeful activity that is structured to encourage individuals to plan, reflect, describe, analyze, and communicate about their experiences. For more information and tools for processing and debriefing, check out store.highfiveadventure.org. Question five. The topic is building. Phil, can you give us a scoreboard update?
Oh, hey there, Jamie. So far, we've got Chris on 4. We have Corbin on 0. We have Bogue on 4. We have Barrett on 3. We have Victor on 3. And we have Cameron also on 0. It's all to play for, as long as Chris and Bogue get it wrong.
Yes. I do have a tiebreaker question, if we do have to go to that. Question 5. When talking about challenge course building materials, the abbreviation NEB stands for what? I see some quick writing happening by Chris. Bogues, NEB. Bogues started writing and then looked off into the distance.
This would be one of those that's really embarrassing. I should probably know it.
That's probably true.
And I don't.
You're doing good. You're doing good. Here we go. Turn around your cars. Chris says, nut, eye, bolt. Corbin says, no. Bogue says, never eat bologna. Barrett says, non-element building. Victor says, nothing. And Cameron says, nothing. The correct answer is nut, eye, bolt. Good job, Chris. Nut eye bolts are manufactured with a molded circular eye at non-threaded end of a bolt. They are ideal for fastening and connecting cables to a tree, pole, or other material in a challenge course setting. And I don't have a place to learn more about nut eye bolts, I'm sorry. So, Phil, is that the end of the game?
That is the end of the game, Jamie, and thank you everyone for attending. Our winner tonight is Chris with a score of 5.
Good job, Chris. Good job. Thank you, everyone, for playing. I hope you had a good time. I hope you guys had a good time for listening. And keep an eye out for more trivia podcasts on the Vertical Playpen feed. Thank you, everyone. Appreciate it. You can see Phil for your pins, and Phil, this back over to you.
Awesome. Thank you, everyone, for being here. And that is a wrap.
Oh, and one last thing before you go is that we have the High Five Symposium coming up April 13th. It's going to be an awesome day of learning and connection, all for the low price of $99. That includes lunch. And also, I will be the Plano for that event. So if you want to learn more, check out the description below. Not long left to register, and I hope to see you there.
Thanks for listening to Vertical Playcast.
And then what about thanks for listening to High Fives Podcast?
Can you do it?
Okay, try.
Thanks for giving Arsical Pasta Guy.